This is the 10-Minute Contrarian Podcast. This is VP. We're a solutions-based podcast diving into the world of contrarian investing and alternative finance. You can find us hosted on the No Nonsense Forex YouTube channel, nononsenseforex.com, and podcast players everywhere. For episode 143, we're going to skip the ad reads because I have no idea how long it's going to take to tell this story. So this episode is going to be pretty different than the ones we've had before. We've had a couple investment psychology episodes. I would say this would probably fall into that. And you guys know I'm relatively private, but I've opened up a little bit and told more personal stories, especially on my other podcast, the Trading Psychology Podcast, because and the only reason I ever tell stories about my own past is because I think it resonates with a lot of people. And there's always some kind of moral or lesson there that I think can help people in their trading or financial lives. But apart from that, I like to keep my personal life and my work life separate. So I hope you'll bear with me for this. And rest assured, if you don't like this episode, we will go right back to our normal rhythm and style next week. So, okay, this is, I'm going to protect the names here, even though nobody has any idea who these people are. But I still keep in touch with the group of friends I had in high school, which I'm told is rare. Now, over time, we have lost two of them. They died early. So I think that may have galvanized us, and I think that might be the reason why we still talk today, but I don't know. You know, we were all certainly very, very different people. Now, there's about 10 of us. And you guys know how a lot of high schools are very cliquish. Mine was very, very cliquish. So you just kind of fell into a group, and that was your group. And, you know, on any given night, you know, nobody was ever on the same page. Everybody wanted to do different things. You know, you had a couple guys that wanted to go, you know, chase girls and get in fights. You know, you had a group who just wanted to play cards and gamble. You know, another group wanted to work on cars and drink beer all night. And a couple of people just wanted to sit around and play Nintendo. Like, everybody was very different. Yet, of that group, there were two people who were such oddballs to where they just lived on their own separate planes of reality from everybody else. Can you guess who those two people were? One was me, and another one was my friend Jeff. And no, our realities did not cross. We were both very stubborn, very pig-headed, and we always felt like we were right about everything. And, you know, combine that with us seeing the world in completely different ways, it was a struggle sometimes. We used to get into some epic arguments until I think we both finally realized, look, you know, the other person's not going to budge. What's the point? You know, and we move on. You know, I've said it before. If you guys knew me when I was 17 years old, you probably wouldn't like me very much. I wasn't a super likable person, in my opinion. And I was just very different from the person I am today. And I feel like there was a reason for that. So after high school, Jeff and I went in two completely different directions. So I left and went to college. I was the only person in the group who did that. Midwesterners, if you know the type, you know, we don't really go anywhere. We just kind of stay where we are. But I left and went to college. And then after an office job that I hated, I went right into hospitality, and that's where I stayed for a very long time. And I got to work in a lot of different cities across the U.S. and had tons and tons of social interactions as a result. And I learned a lot from that, to where Jeff took a different route, almost completely opposite. He did not go to college. He ended up marrying the girl he took to prom a couple years after, and then they bought a home and then had a son soon after that. And then his job, I think it was like IT or programming or something, but it was the type of job where he almost never had to leave the house. So we all thought that was great. They're like, man, what a dream job. You know, this was back, you know, in the early 2000s, before work from home was even really a thing. But compared to me, he had very little social interaction. And unfortunately, life so far, I would say, has not gone very well for him. His wife, they're still married, but she hates him. His kid's a psycho. He doesn't talk to his brother anymore because their mother died, and there was some kind of disagreement between how the house was going to get split. And I asked my one friend about it, and he says, you know Jeff, dude, he always has to be right. And I'm sure this has played a huge part. I don't know the particulars, but just know that this guy has not changed. And this is really sad because he's not a bad person at all. He's actually a very kind and thoughtful person, but just got taken down by his own stubbornness, as far as we can tell. Now, we all created a group chat thread, text thread, I guess, over time, and he would pop in sometimes and throw in a little joke or something. But one day, we saw that he removed himself from the text thread. And I didn't know why he did this, but I had my suspicions. So, one of our other friends in the group, Sean, had come out as transgender when he was 39 years old. Like, it's pretty late to be doing something like that. And Jeff had exited himself from the text thread soon after. So I asked my buddy, I was like, is this because of Sean? And he said, yes, it was. So we were all pretty bummed out about this. But we also knew there was absolutely no talking any sense into this guy. So nobody really reached out. They just kind of left things the way they were and just let Jeff go his own way. So the dude was pretty much a ghost for years. And then a week and a half ago, he sends me a text. And I almost didn't see it because everybody texts me on WhatsApp now. And this was on regular text. And I'm like, holy shit, who is this? And it was him. And he just said, hey, what's up? I was like, I'm good, man. What's going on? He says, you got time to chat for a minute. And I was actually out at the mall. And I'm like, yeah, let me get a quiet spot and then I'll call you. So I called him. And the very first thing I said is, hey, are you calling me because somebody died? Because this is all completely out of the blue. And he said, no, nothing like that. So we just start shooting the breeze for a little while. And then I said, hey, you know, you're not on our text thread anymore. And he says, yeah. And he goes, I left. I said, was it because of Sean? And he said it was. I'm like, so what exactly happened there? I never got like a firsthand account. Because I've seen Sean a few times since, but we never really talked about it. And I figured that Jeff had this come to Jesus moment. He was trying to make things straight and all that. Oh, no, he wasn't. He was like, dude, get this. After Sean came out as trans, he asked us to please refer to him as a she and also call him by his new name. And I was like, yeah, and he said, why should I have to do something like that? I've known this guy 25 years. And all of a sudden, now I have to change the way I refer to him? It doesn't make any sense. And so I paused a minute to take it all in, and I'm like, Jeff, are you fucking kidding me? This is why you guys had a falling out? This is why you left the text thread and don't talk to people anymore? And he just said, you know, but I'm right. I shouldn't have to do this if I don't want to. Now, what I wanted to say was, you know, look, dude, you know, when it happened, a lot of us were kind of weirded out by it. You know, because we never knew anybody who did this. You know, we didn't understand it too well. But at the end of the day, you know, this is our friend. And what he's asking is not really a big ask at the end of the day. It's something pretty simple, pretty easy to do. And out of respect for our friend, you know, we had no problem doing it. You know, I was with him the night he came out to us. There were about five of us at a bar, and he was being really quiet and drinking a lot because he was petrified over how we would react to it. So despite our thoughts on the whole issue, like, this is really not a big give and take. We're happy to do it. But I didn't explain any of that to Jeff because I didn't want to argue with him because I know where those conversations go. They go absolutely nowhere. So for the very first time in Jeff and I's friendship, we had like an actual human conversation. And I said, look, man, I don't know the backstory on any of this too well. But you really don't communicate much with your family and now most of your friends. Is that fair to say? Just yes or no? And he said yes. And I asked him, do you like that? And he paused a bit because I think he was thrown by the question. And he said, no, I don't like it. I actually really hate it. I said, do you wish it were different? And he says, absolutely, yes. And I asked him too, I said, why did you reach out to me? And he said, because I always remember you as the person who, no matter how unpopular it was, you know, you always stuck to your guns. And I respected that about you. And I was like, oh, okay. And I told him this one thing. I'm like, so I kind of am still that guy in certain respects. But here is where I feel like I've evolved. I was careful not to say the word changed. said evolved over, you know, my life experiences and the interactions I've had with people over time, I've learned that it's okay to have a strong belief system. But I've also learned, too, that you don't win anything for being right. There's no prize. You don't gain any status. And, like, you're never remembered for any of that crap. It's not like anybody says, hey, that's my friend Jeff over there. He's known for being right about a lot of things. Like, that, nobody says that. That's not how anybody describes somebody else. And the reason why is because at the end of the day, these things don't matter. You know, you always hear about these people who are, you know, I'm doing air quotes, set in their ways. And in TV and movies will sometimes kind of glamorize and romanticize people like this. But at the end of the day, in real life, being this way doesn't make you intelligent. It makes you very clumsy. It makes you seem like somebody who can't adjust to things. To me, somebody who is truly intelligent is able to take what's in front of them, no matter what it is, and skillfully navigate it. Those are the people who I always see come out on top. And if you're stuck in this hard line of very rigid, inelastic thinking, and you never know when to make a tactical retreat, and you never sit back and say, you know what, maybe I was wrong about this. At least I should dig a little more into this and find out. You know, as somebody who always thought he was right and still does think he's right about a lot of things, this is the one thing I've really learned over time. You know, don't forget, too, we lost a couple of guys. And I think back to all the time I wasted arguing with those two bozos over absolutely nothing. When looking back on it, I really wished I would have just kind of relaxed and just spent more time enjoying their company. And then there was a really long pause on the other end. And I even had to say, he's like, hey, dude, you still there? And he said, yeah. And then he kind of stammered a little bit and then said, hey, is it cool if I call you back? I said, go right ahead. And that was the last I heard from him. I have no idea what he did. I don't know if he chose to go and reconcile. If he did absolutely nothing, I have no idea. So I hope I didn't bore you guys with this story. And if you're new, fear not, this is not how the podcast normally goes. We'll go right back to me yelling and screaming about how right I am next week. But I did tell this story for two reasons. One of them is kind of silly and trivial. I'll save that to the end. But the first one is, unlike on the Trading Psychology podcast, where I'm talking to traders, so we have that in common, but these traders have completely different personality styles. You know, they're all over the spectrum as far as that goes. To where we here, we're all kind of part of the same tribe. You know, we are contrarian thinkers. Now, I don't know if you became that way over time or if this is just something you always were from the start, like I was. Because if you were, you probably grew up and lived a fairly frustrating life because nobody around you thought the way you did, but you were still very convicted and very sure of your thoughts and your beliefs. But it was easy to cast doubt because almost everybody around you was saying and thinking something different. And a lot of times you probably just felt like you were just screaming into a void and never getting taken seriously. But over time, through the wonders of the internet and social media, you have found other people who share your convictions and have gone through very similar situations. And in the case of contrarian investing, there have been a lot of these situations to where we turned out to not only be correct where everybody else was wrong, but quite profitable too. And I still think the best here is yet to come. So in a way, it's very, very validating. And it just solidified what you already believe to be true. In the very next episode, actually, of the Trading Psychology podcast, which is going to air in 9 days, I think, it's going to be on validation and this very concept. But when you are validated like this, man, if somebody couldn't tell you you were wrong before, now it's never going to happen. But again, we can't go full bore 100% into this line of thinking. It doesn't work. It does more harm than good. And when it comes to our money and our investments and our financial future, and we all know how important that is and how important it's about to be, you can't sit there and have that meter all the way to one side. You got to push it a little bit more towards the middle. Certainly not all of the way, but some of the way. You guys have heard me say here on this podcast, especially when it comes to things like other foreign currencies, as mega bullish as I am on the United States dollar, I hold other currencies too, just in case I'm wrong. And in the past, so carbon credits would be a great example of this, I've had to come out publicly to all of you and say, look, I thought there was a real bull case for this now. It turns out there probably isn't, and maybe not in the next few years either. So I need to really cut bait with this. Sell my position, take the loss, write it off on taxes, and move on. And believe me, that's not easy to do. It's much easier to sit there and say, you know, how right I was about everything and dance around and be obnoxious. And you have to understand, too, the reason why I do that as much as I do is because of what I said before. It's tough to think this way because it's so unpopular. And then when it doesn't pay off for you, you know, especially a year or two down the road, it's easy to lose faith. So I do like to remind everybody, like, no, we were actually right about this. When the whole world was going one way, we went the other way, and it sucked, and it was weird, but it paid off. But at the same time, you can't be completely rigid in your thinking. There has to be some fluidity there. All of the great thinkers, all of the great political leaders, all of the great scientists, all of the great generals, people who were known for being absolute geniuses, you know, they all have this one thing in common. They were all very fervent in what they believed, but they were willing to adjust when necessary. And that's what made them great. That's what made them looked at by humanity as highly intelligent people, not being rigid and set in your ways. I hope Jeff figures that out someday. But what else did I do in these past 10 days? I invested in the NASDAQ. I bought ticker symbol QQQ, Invesco's NASDAQ product. And I should have done this at the beginning of the year, back when my macro prediction episode came out. And I said, look, I expect the stock market to go up. I think they're going to hold this thing up until the election, then they're going to let it go. And so honestly, if that's how I felt about things, why wouldn't I buy it? And honestly, I meant to. I just completely forgot. I didn't write it down anywhere. I didn't put it on a spreadsheet. And when I don't do things like that, it's very easy for me to forget. Because now, buying it in March instead of January, if I decide to let it go after the election because things are dropping, now I've created a different tax event as a United States citizen than I would have had I had held onto it for 12 months. So, mistake there on my part for sure. But I thought I would share this with you because in a way it does go along with this story. I'm the one who sits there and says everything's going to crash. And for the last 3 years, you should not be joining in on this crazy hookers and cocaine party that everybody else is enjoying and getting rich off of. And now I am investing in the NASDAQ in 2024, not 2021 or before that like I should have. I'm doing it now. So why am I doing it now? Well, I think it's obvious. One, I do believe the stock market's going to go up for the rest of this year. For most of it, I don't think things that are going on in the election are going to really affect that. Now, assuming, I'm not going to get too deep into politics yet because there is going to be a separate episode for that. But assuming we get Trump versus Biden, you know, people, that wasn't long ago. People remember the stock market did very well overall under Trump and also under Biden. Now, I think this election is going to be an absolute circus, but I don't see that really affecting the overall movement of the stock market, especially tech stocks that are in the NASDAQ. And here's the thing, too. Unlike most normie investors that have almost all of their investable net worth tied up in the American stock market or whatever their local stock market is, this is just one position, and I have a stop loss, and if it hits it, I leave, and I lose a little bit. But I feel like the risk versus reward is certainly there. So I bought it. And, you know, if anything, now I have a little bit of a hedge against the rest of my portfolio. So there it is. The QQQ is now in VP's portfolio. This is something I normally wouldn't do, but I hope the story I told early on kind of ties into the reason why I did it. And I hope you're at least able to take something away from this episode. Because yes, overall, sometimes it can be very lonely and very isolating to have this type of mindset. But you know what I've found to be a very good remedy for the contrarian blues? Making money in the market and all the validation that comes with it. So if you ever find yourself in doubt over all of this, understand two things. One, it's completely normal to feel that way. And two, have a belief system, but also be willing to be fluid and adjust to the current landscape while still having a long-term view. You can do all three. And as always, remember that when it comes to this crazy thing we call contrarian investing, we are not crazy. We are just early.